Well, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. We always like to let you know, if you're first time here, you haven't listened to us before, that we actually do this on Sunday mornings in a Zoom fellowship service, where you can have a chance to come in on Zoom, listen to this message and meditation, listen to some great music, have discussion about the lesson, but just be part of the Unity community. So if you would like to do that, you can find that in your e-newsletter or your weekly update. If you're not receiving any one of those, you can go to unitycenteroflight.org and you can sign up so you can receive those documents and keep up with what we're doing. We also appreciate and say thank you so much for all the donations you're sending to help Unity Center of Light keep doing the work it is doing. If you are inspired by this service and you would like to support us, please click on the Show More button right below and you can see all the wonderful ways that you can donate. And if you like this service and you would like to, be subscribed so that you can know when new lessons are coming up, hit the subscribe button in the lower right-hand corner. And then also, if you like it, click the like and let us know that we're, meeting your needs. Other than that, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we'll have the daily word reading for today. For today, Sunday, August the 20th. And the daily word reading, the key word is understanding. And the affirmation is, with understanding, my spirit is always cool. One of the best ways to remain calm in any agitating circumstance is to practice understanding. Seeking to understand gives me information and insight and eases my reactivity. It keeps my emotional thermostat dialed down if I am tempted to lose my cool. Perhaps poet Rudyard Kipling was referring to understanding in his poem, If, when he wrote of the importance of keeping your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. Properly mastered, my power of understanding gives me the strength and presence of mind to be a beacon in times of trouble or crisis. Whatever this day may bring, I will carry the light of understanding with me. I am cool in spirit. I am understanding. The scripture reading is taken from Proverbs 17:27, and it reads, "One who is cool in spirit has understanding." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday lesson with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we are, still on this journey trying to understand the deeper concepts of this spiritual journey. Yes, we grasp it intellectually, but we also want to really be able to move it, this information we're gathering from our intellect and into our spirit, where we can really start to live these ideas that we're studying. And, this lesson is going to be based on the poem, Come to the Edge, which I'm sure most of you are familiar with. And it says, we are told by our teacher to come to the edge, but we proclaim we might fall. We are told by our teacher to come to the edge, but we proclaim it's too high. Our teacher commands that we come to the edge. So we come, and he pushes us off the edge, and we fly. Okay. So there seems to be a debate between, who actually wrote this poem. I'm not going to get into that. I'll let, you look that up on your own to try to understand it. But there's two different people, Apollinaire and Christopher Lugge. But, you know, like I said, that's not important to this lesson. But the poem presents a compelling image of our studies here at Unity Center of Light. They're designed to do what the poem is talking about, which is to coax us and challenge us to go to the edge of what we presently believe to be true about ourselves and about our lives. And then it pushes us, these teachings push us to a place in consciousness beyond what we presently believe to be possible for ourselves and our lives. So that poem is really the key to this lesson. And to get the most out of this spiritual journey, it's important to grasp the fact that to actually receive what we pray for, what we long for, we must be willing to come to the edge of what we now believe to be our life experience so that we can be pushed into a new reality where that which we pray for and long for actually already exists, okay? And as we have heard in so many lessons from different teachers and sources, if spiritual growth is what we truly desire, then transformation is a must. And to be transformed, we're talking about to be transformed as Paul described when he said, by the renewing of our minds. So this requires us to work with the spiritual principles that describe a divine possibility that exists beyond what we presently believe to be true about ourselves and our life experiences. Because what we presently know, and this is an important point, what we presently know is just a drop in the ocean of infinite knowing. I don't care how much we think we know about, you know, the spiritual process. It's just a drop in the ocean of infinite knowing. And even Rumi, you know, the great Persian mystic and poet said, if I have one drop of knowing in my soul, let it dissolve in your ocean. Now, a possible paraphrase of this quote is, Lord, when I think I know what is real, help me to dissolve that knowing so that I can become a part of your infinite knowing. Okay? However, the challenge to our transformation from the known to the unknown is the fact that we are encased, we have encased ourselves in what we think we know and believe about ourselves, about our lives, about life in general. You know, we have this thinking that we're stuck in. And this causes our view of what is possible in our lives to become very limited. So the question and the quest is, how do I break free and consciously move beyond what I think I know to be real? How do I develop the courage to live on the edge, you know, willing to let go and fly? So a great part of the answer to this question lies in what we each believe about our life and about the circumstances, events, and situations that have led to how we feel and believe today. Right? Because as a character on TV said, nothing happens willy-nilly. Everything is happening for a purpose, and that purpose is constantly being defined and redefined by our individual and collective consciousness. So now listen to this explanation by Greg Braden from his book, The Divine Matrix. Okay, so The Divine Matrix, and I put in parentheses Kingdom of God because my previous lesson, I talked about how the Divine Matrix is what Jesus was calling the Kingdom of God. So the divine matrix or kingdom of God is our world. As Jesus said, and the kingdom of God is neither here nor there. It is within you. It is in the midst of you. So the kingdom of God or the divine matrix is our world. It is also everything in our world. It is us and all that we love, hate, create, and experience. So living in the divine matrix or kingdom of God, we are as artists expressing our innermost passions, fears, dreams, and desires through the essence of a mysterious quantum canvas. But we are the canvas, as well as the images upon the canvas. We are the paints, as well as the brushes, okay? So this is but another way of saying that we create our own experiences, and we are in charge of what we think and feel about what we are creating. And this is probably the hardest of all of the New Thought concepts. The idea that we're creating our own reality, because we can all legitimately declare that there are many things we have experienced that we would have not wished upon ourselves, would have not created in our lives. And as I said, that is a legitimate declaration. Okay? But as we have heard in so many ways, we are the artist of our lives. To use an illustration I shared in a previous lesson, you know, if you ever watched Daffy Duck cartoons, there were episodes when Daffy Duck would snatch a pencil from the artist who was somewhere off screen and unseen and erase parts of himself that he didn't like and redraw them, as well as erase things in the scene, his cartoon world, that he didn't like and redraw them. So this is probably as good an illustration as any to give us a means of visualizing how we create and recreate ourselves while at the same time actually being that which we have created, okay? So we hold in the hand of our mind the pencil we use to erase and redraw ourselves. But, and this is a big but, if we are stuck in visualizing ourselves in our lives with certain images, beliefs, and opinions, everything we draw will be a reflection of those images, beliefs, and opinions. No matter how many times we redraw ourselves or our circumstances, the results will typically be somewhat the same. Even though circumstances or locations or people may change, the results will be somewhat the same until we develop the courage and understanding to step to the psychological, emotional edge of what we believe about ourselves in our lives. So to truly change yourself and your life experience, you must first change what you think about yourself and your life. This is something we know. And you must also think about how you feel about what you think about yourself and your life. How do I feel about my life? Okay? And this thing is, you know, this is not, we're talking about, this is not new. This is not new information for us because we have been doing this numerous times throughout our lives. We thought about our lives, didn't like some of the things that were going on. We grabbed the pencil of our mind and we redrew our lives. Many of us have done that over and over again in many different ways, okay? But what we're doing in this lesson is exploring how to do this vertically instead of horizontally. I don't know if you remember that lesson. Meaning how to do this spiritually instead of just intellectually. A lot of times the intellectual path is very horizontal. It's taking us down a road, we're learning a lot of stuff, but it's when we really grasp the truth and what we're learning and begin to live it that we begin to move spiritually, move vertically. So simply, how do we get to what is truly true about ourselves and about our lives? So in an attempt to gain some understanding about the concept of evolving beyond where we are, let's try to simplify the explanation given by Hegel, a German philosopher who lived from 1770 to 1831, who proposed that truth is reached by a continuing dialectic. Let me say that again. He's saying that truth is reached by a continuing dialectic. A dialectic being the art or practice of arriving at the truth by the exchange of logical arguments. Okay? Now, think about this. We do this a lot. We get into these arguments. Not all the time logical. A lot of times they might irrational or irrational, okay? But basically, that is what we do, you know, that's what we do here. I shared with you before that nothing that I am teaching in these lessons is meant to be accepted as the absolute truth. Nothing that I teach or say in these lessons is meant to be accepted as the absolute truth. This is why I like having the opportunity in the Sunday Zoom fellowship service to discuss the ideas shared in the Sunday lesson, okay? Remember, we are all truth seekers, and as truth seekers, we have a deep-seated desire to know, to understand, to reflect, and to feel what is true for ourselves as we navigate our way through our spiritual journey, okay? And it's understood that I will feel certain things about what I'm learning or experiencing in my spiritual journey that's different from what you're feeling, okay? It's all a real personal experience. And in addition, it's proposed that truth seekers are concerned with discovering what is real and permanent as opposed to what is fleeting or an illusion. That is why Hegel proposed that truth is reached by a continuing dialectic, okay? A dialectic being the art or practice of arriving at the truth by the exchange of logical arguments. Again, with the term logical typically referring to what seemed logical to the individual involved in the, or individuals involved in the discussion. Again, why I believe that having these opportunities to discuss this in the Sunday lessons in the Zoom can be very beneficial and enlightening. Okay, and it's important to note that dialectic evolution is different from linear evolution. See, linear evolution sort of says, as I walk along the spiritual path, I gain new information. But whether or not this new information creates change in us depends on our willingness to let go of our old way of thinking and believing, okay? Can't put what? New wine in old wineskins. So each one of us, we have this mental map of reality, okay, that governs how we see the world. And our mental map of reality comes from a gatekeeper, comes with a gatekeeper that stands over our conscious mind and controls what comes in. Actually, I got that term from when I was teaching marketing at the college. In the marketing test book, it talked about this gatekeeper in our mind, and marketers know about that. And they know that marketers understand that they're, who they're targeting, usually those people are open to let the gatekeeper to letting the information in, but they also know there are other markets that the people are just not interested, and they don't even let that information in, okay? So we have this gatekeeper that stands watch over our conscious mind and controls what gets in, according to our mental map of reality. So things that are somewhat in alignment with our mental map of reality are allowed in, and things that are often not even consciously noticed. So we do evolve, so to speak, but in a linear manner, that is in alignment with our existing mental map of reality, okay? Now, on the other hand, there's another process of evolution according to Hegel's theory of dialectic. Like linear evolution, we do start with a belief system that is based on our mental map of reality. Now, for this discussion, let's consider our mental map of reality as it applies to our dualistic perception of our world. Meaning, we think about our, as we think about ourselves, how do we see and interpret our world? We are somewhat conscious of who and what we love, but we're also conscious of who and what we fear. Okay? So our beliefs, our mental map of reality is based on whether we are feeling and experiencing love or whether we are feeling and experiencing fear. And typically, we will defend our mental map of reality with every emotion in our mind and body arguing that the way we see the world is the right way to see the world. Right? Now, according to Hegel, this strong belief that we have about the way we see the world, the way we see ourselves and how we show up in the world, is called a thesis, our thesis, okay? Or my thesis, I should say. The dictionary has a good definition for this word. Thesis is defined as a proposition that is maintained by argument. And we will argue about how we see the world, how we see things, how things should be done, okay? And we do it from the smallest to the biggest, right? So the way that we each see and experience the world is our thesis. And you have to think about this. The way I see the world is my thesis. And as I just shared, we will argue and defend our mental map, our individual way of seeing the world, no matter what anyone else says. Now, give an example of this. The followers of Jesus Christ span the globe. But the global body of more than 2 billion Christians, and I'm going to give you the source I got this from, the global body of more than 2 billion Christians is separated into thousands of denominations. Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Baptist, Apostolic, Methodist, and you know where the list goes on, okay? Estimations show that there are more than 200 Christian denominations in the United States and a staggering 45,000 different Christian denominations globally. And this is according, if you want to look this up, to the Center for the Study of Global Christianity, okay? So which denomination, including unity, is based on absolute truth? Okay? That's the question for discussion. And we all have had those discussions and arguments, right, with friends and family. I know, because you tell us about them in our discussion set, our Zoom fellowship service. You tell us about them. We've all had these arguments, you know, with friends and family who follow other spiritual paths. Probably the best or most acceptable premise for us to realize is that we argue because we aren't there yet. See, we're seekers. And a big part of our work is releasing our old mental map that is like an anchor holding us down in our existing perceptions. And according to Hegel's dialectic view of evolution, while we are trapped in our mental map, our present thesis will encounter its opposite, either something you see, hear, or experience, which creates within you something that opposes your life view, okay? And for the purpose of this lesson, we're talking about higher spiritual truths, okay? Because we run into stuff all the time that opposes our life view. But let's talk about our life spiritual view, okay? Our life spiritual view. So Hegel calls this antithesis, right? That thing that opposes our view, especially our spiritual view, our spiritual path, is called antithesis. Even within ourselves, has in your spiritual journey, especially into unity, created within you thought processes that oppose what you previously believed to be true? Like, I came from the Baptist religion. The Baptists don't typically follow the same thought processes that we do in New Thought, okay? Many of you have come from other backgrounds where when you came into unity, your thesis was challenged by the antithesis of truth teachings, all right, of what was called truth teachings. And have you not wrestled with your old beliefs and old ways of being as you learn new ways of perceiving your life, your relationship, your spiritual journey, your very self, okay? We even find this inner struggle mentioned in Scripture. In Genesis, many of you know the Scripture, Genesis 32:24, it says, "And Jacob has sent away all of his family and everything he owned. He was left alone." Now, don't think about him sending away his wife and children and all of that. That's what it sounds like. But everything that he knew, he gave up all of his thinking, his mental map of reality. Think of it that way. And he was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, we all know that that man he was wrestling with was his own inner struggles with new mental, emotional information that opposed his old mental map of reality. His thesis, what he used to believe, and his antithesis, a new reality, were at odds. His thesis and antithesis were wrestling with each other. Can anyone relate? If we were in person, I'd be asking, raise your hand if you can relate, okay? And Scripture says he fought to the breaking of day, all right? He fought to the breaking of day. The word day in Scripture means spiritual understanding, and night, of course, means spiritual ignorance. So another way of looking at this from Hegel's theory of dialectic evolution is that our existing mental map of reality, our present perception of what is real and what is not, is a manifestation of our ego interpretations, which operates in spiritual ignorance, what Scripture call the darkness or night. Now, what we're learning about the teachings of Jesus is designed to lead us into the light, meaning the understanding of what is spiritually true in any given situation in which we find ourselves. Unlike Jacob, now listen carefully, we do not have to wrestle with the antithesis to our present perceptions. Rather, we can choose to just learn to be with the truth teachings we are learning and work with those teachings in our lives where we can and when we can until the thesis, what we believe to be true, and the antithesis, the new ideas we have learned, become one. This is what Hegel calls synthesis. Okay. Now, this new reality that we're exploring from studying the teachings of Jesus have the ability to change our existing mental map of reality. It's the idea that once you have experienced the light, you will never forget it, and you will always seek it. As it is written in Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining even brighter to the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Okay. So as we keep working, earnestly working with these principles, our understanding will become even brighter. And I'm going to explain how that happens. It becomes even brighter until we experience the full light of day. Now, in essence, the spiritual work we do every day in our lives pushes us through the old reality and into the new. Not based on what we have been told is the truth, okay? If you're working on this every day with these spiritual principles, it's pushing you, okay, into a new reality. But again, not based on what you've been told, not based on these lessons I'm doing, not based on the books you're reading, not based on what anybody other, you know, speaker you listen to tells you. But what happens is you come to know within yourself what the truth really is. And that's when you know. Okay? You can't really know it by hearing somebody else say it or reading in a book. You have to work with it until it becomes what you know right in the soul of your being. So from Hegel's dialectic theory of evolution, if you think of the thesis, what you believe to be reality, and the antithesis, the truth principles that oppose what you believe to be reality, as being the two base corners of a triangle, okay? Thesis, antithesis, two base corners. And the blending of these two, the synthesis, which is at the peak of that triangle, you can now see that you're at a higher thought process, okay? You're at the top of the triangle. You can see how your new understanding has placed you at a higher level of consciousness. This is when you have stepped off the edge and began to fly. But according to Hegel, it doesn't stop there. Remember, the scripture says the light becomes even brighter until you experience the full light of day. So according to Hegel, the synthesis, your new higher understanding at the top of the triangle, becomes your new thesis, which is the beginning of a new triangle higher yet than the one before. This is how you evolve spiritually. Okay. Now, let me show this. All right, and let me just take, hold on 1 second, let me get this. All right, so this is what I'm kind of talking about. So Hegel is saying, just think of thesis and antithesis as being the base. This is the present, your present map of reality, okay? Your present mental map, and this is a challenge to your present mental map. You know, like what's this say, love conquers all, you know, and then you run into something that challenges that, okay? Whatever that might be, when these blend, and it happens in here in terms of logical, you know, arguments, typically within yourself, when you come to this higher understanding of how love really conquers all, then you've developed a synthesis, a blending of the two. But what Hegel says is the peak of this triangle now becomes your new thesis. This higher understanding you have right here now becomes your new thesis, and the process begins all over again. You will find, as you keep evolving, I find it in myself, if I keep working on these talks, I keep getting more and more information that even challenges what I thought I knew before. That becomes my new antithesis. And if I keep working with it, then eventually it'll come together as a new synthesis and a new thesis for me. So to give you an idea of how this works, these triangles, don't look at it, look like a flag going sideways, but look at them, each is a triangle. This synthesis happened here, new thesis happened there. Same thing, synthesis, new thesis, each starting a new triangle, right? Remember this point at the top of this triangle is synthesis, but at this point right here, it's your new thesis. And as you notice here, when you reach this pinnacle up here, the thesis, the consciousness you have developed is much higher than anything below that, okay? So I just wanted to share that with you to give you an idea of how this process works. And that's the evolution of consciousness. It goes on and on and on, okay? So hopefully that made some kind of sense. I told Pam I was a little nervous about this talk because it's just so deep in what it's trying to get us to understand, okay? But as you heard me say many times before, do not become entrenched in any belief system, okay? Think of everything that you believe to be true as the beginning of the end of that belief. Why? Because you know that eventually you will encounter an antithesis of that thesis, which will result in a synthesis, a new higher understanding of what is truly true. Okay. So let me leave you with this affirmation to think about. It's from Science of Mind magazine. It says, today I release the past. I live in the present moment. I take the lessons I have learned and use them to live a more spiritual and loving life. I'm becoming a person I am meant to be. All right, and amen. Now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
I look forward to that discussion later. So now, Unity family, let's relax into this present moment. You may close your eyes or take a downward gaze. And take a deep cleansing breath in and release it. Your heart and mind open to the pure, unlimited potential of spirit. New visions and new ways of thinking flow with ease as you embrace this truth. With spiritual understanding, I know everything is unfolding for my highest good. Your divine capacity of spiritual understanding is a gift by its power you see beyond the surface and perceive that which is not visible. You sense what is unspoken and discern what is not readily known. And so now, please take the following words as your very own. My intuition is strong and clear, and I trust the guidance it provides. Divine wisdom is my new nature, my true nature. I perceive truths that are timeless. When faced with truths that challenge my human perceptions, I move through temporary discomfort to gain deeper insight and awareness. I hold a vision of unwavering good, trusting that every experience aligns my well-being. I hold fast to my faith in difficult times. I am steady. I am secure. Inner wisdom empowers me to be authentic and bold. When others fall short of their divine nature, I respond with compassion, setting firm with loving boundaries that honor my sacredness and theirs. Spiritual understanding is a clear compass, directing me to my highest and best. I am grateful for divine understanding that leads me to my highest good. So now let's take the next few moments to enter into that secret place of the highest, a place of peace, love, joy, and faith, a place you may enter into at any time of the night or day. Here in this place, in consciousness, we share our desires with God and prepare to have our prayers answered. So take this time right now. We are grateful, gracious Spirit, that you have heard our prayers this morning and you've answered them as you always do. We are grateful for your guidance, your love, your protection, your wisdom. And we continue through the rest of our day knowing these truths. As you return from this time of meditation and re-enter your day, let's give thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings and join us.
Very nice. So, as we've shared before, when we get ready to do our prosperity prayer, that you know, this is a time where we get thanks for the many blessings in our personal life. I know Pam and I just came back from Massanutten Resort, where we had our kids, all of our kids, grandkids, and great-grand, and our best friends Milton and Sheila had all their kids, grandkids, and great-grands there as well. And Milton and I, who've been friends since we were 15, you know, just looked at each other and looked at all of these kids and as a blessing, as part of our blessings. So I just share that to say, think of all the blessings in your life as we get ready to say this prosperity prayer together. So together.
Divine
love through me blesses and multiplies
all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me.
Amen.
Amen.
And then this next one is where we just give thanks for Unity Center of Light as our spiritual family, where we get our spiritual nourishment from. And, you know, we, all of us who support Unity Center of Light with our donations are just thankful for having this spiritual community. So holding your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, let's say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. All right, and now you have light notes.
Yes. Light notes for today, Sunday, 8/20/23. Our backpacks project is going to be ending on the 25th of this month. That's when we'll be delivering the backpacks, as school will be starting on the 28th. So if you have any questions, please email Patty, and also let her know if you'd like to pack or deliver backpacks to the area schools. Our next Women of Unity get-together is Saturday, August the 26th at 2:30 p.m. We'll meet at the church office in the Kenhill Center. And remember, this is an open group, so all ladies may join us. And it is potluck lunch, so please let me know what you'll bring. And also, let me know what you'll bring, or it doesn't really matter. You can choose that to make your own. That's what makes it potluck. Nobody knows what they're going to get. Anyway, I'm looking forward to that. September the 10th is our next live and in-person service, also on Zoom. We're not meeting on the first Sunday because that's the holiday weekend, so that's why it's on the 10th. Butch will be doing the message, and I'll be doing the meditation, and we will have special music with Tepora. The Book Light Book Club will be discussing the next book by Marianne Williamson called The Age of Miracles, Embracing the New Midlife. They will meet on Sunday, September the 10th, on Zoom at 1:30 p.m. And that concludes our announcements for today.
Okay, so now
we are now going to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
And let's go right to our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. Well, thank you for being with us today. It's been our pleasure. We hope to see you maybe on September 10th in person. Otherwise, we will definitely be here next week in our Zoom session. We hope to see you there as well. But have a wonderful week. It's been our pleasure to bring this to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.